My name is Clarence Napier, CEO of 321 Set Appointments LLC, and you're listening to the 321 Sales Pros radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where our company slogan is 321 Business Development Clients Never Work Alone. 321 Sales Pros is the home for serious business owners and salespersons who want to maximize sales performance, sales productivity, and sales profitability. We serve the following industries: attorneys, home builders, cosmetic surgeons, dentists, financial services advisors, mortgage brokers, real estate brokers, and CPAs. We hope you enjoy today's show. All right, my name is Clarence Napier, president at 321 Set Appointments LLC, based in Sacramento County. And we have, I have the pleasure and honor to interview Mr. Corey Craig from Queens, New York, a realtor from Keller Williams, based in New York City. And I just want to introduce Craig. So how you doing, Craig? Let me start that over. It's Corey.
Everybody does that, man. And remember, I'm somebody with two first names, so I get that all the time.
I'm going to start that over. But you know what, though? My best friend in high school, he was a quarterback of the football team down in Tampa. His name is Craig. So I talk to him all the time still today. So I'm just saying Craig all the time. So here we go. Like we do in California, take two. Yes. This is Clarence Napier, president at 321 Set Appointments LLC, your sales training and business development company based in Sacramento County, California. And it's a privilege and honor to interview Corey Craig of Queens, New York, a Keller Williams realtor. So good day, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good too. Man, I want to thank you for coming on the show today to talk about yourself and real estate. And it's the tradition on the show to have the guest spend a few minutes talking about himself. So you have the mic for the next 5 minutes, whatever you want to talk about in terms of yourself and who you are, where you're from, and how you got started in real estate. You have 5 minutes to do so. Then we can talk about real estate specific items.
Okay, sounds good. Well, as you stated, my name is Corey Craig, born and raised in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Moved out to Jamaica, Queens when I was about 6 years old. Fast forward, pretty much as far as with real estate, it was something I was always curious about, but didn't have the tools to kind of get in the door to see what it was about. You know, you see a lot of investors within certain areas come by and knock on people's doors, you know, offering them a certain amount of cash. You see them fix up a house, do certain things, and this is from, you know, the 90s all the way to present. And it was something of a curiosity of, you know, as I got older, to see how most of your wealthy elite obtained majority of money from real estate. You know, if you didn't obtain it through real estate, you know, 100%, you made money someplace else and then dumped it in real estate. But either way, real estate is the common denominator to where it does protect your money. So it was something to where you're watching, you know, certain shows, HGTV flipping shows and Million Dollar Listing and certain things like that, the interest developed of you know, let me take a stab at real estate. Mm-hmm. And it was something to where I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel that, oh, how can I find time and this, that. And I say, well, you know, you find time for what you want to find time for, you know, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to money, you know, we all need money and we'll all find a way to make it. So I thought
let me ask you a quick question about in real estate in New York. I mean, in there in Manhattan, as well as the other boroughs, it's got to be a phenomenal, phenomenal place to be in real estate. I mean, you're talking about, you know, some of the biggest deals that have ever been done in the United States happened there in New York. So
correct.
What is that like?
It's a gift and a curse, because in New York, everybody knows somebody that's a real estate agent. You know, everybody has a cousin or somebody that does real estate. The only thing that separates you know, your cousin and family member from myself is that, you know, your cousin might not work as hard as me. And I feel that's the separation between both the agents in within New York as a whole. Everyone has their license, but you have a 2-year time to reinstate your license. So you do your first 2 years and then you have to get it reinstated. Most people don't get past that 2-year mark because it involves so much. So the branding and everything comes into play in New York. So the people that are able to brand themselves and work hard get the deals. Some people that don't go as hard and really get their name out there, they really don't get past the 2-year mark. But it is a tough market because there's so many agents out there.
Right. So do you know how approximately how many agents are in the New York metro area? I mean, that goes all the way up to, like you say, to like me. Is Yonkers included in that? Like, you know, the Bronx, is that included in that
New
York market?
Yeah. Yonkers is still a part of, it's not a part of the city. It's a part of Westchester County. So pretty much the city stops at the Bronx. But if you're an agent in the Bronx, you can't operate in the Westchester area because the MLS is under Bronx Westchester license. You also for Bronx Westchester. But as far as for the city is just consisted of the five boroughs. A lot of people forget about Staten Island, but yes, they are part of the five boroughs too.
Yes, they are. Off the 278 freeway, I think.
Yes, and one of the most expensive bridges in New York, the Verrazano. So,
wow.
Yeah, you gotta go over to Verrazano and get to Staten Island, and it'll cost you $16 without the E-Pass. Yeah.
Ooh.
That was
a shocker to a lot of the listeners to have to pay that. I think even the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is just $10. So, ooh.
Oh, that's a deal. that's a deal. There's no... No $10 over the Verrazano. But
what was the final like thing that pushed you over? Like what made you make the ultimate decision to get started in real estate? Because one day you're not in, the next day you're in. What point in your life pushed you over to decide to go into real estate? It had to be something.
Well, I kind of said to myself, what do I have to lose? And I
Here
think my passion for it. Well, actually, I would say my passion for watching HGTV and seeing the beautiful homes and seeing this is be it as one big machine. Real estate is something that everyone needs a roof over their head, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a condo, whether it's a co-op, whether it's a house. Everyone needs a roof over their head, and someone has to pay somebody, whether you're going to pay the bank, you're going to pay an investor, or you're going to pay your landlord. But money is going to change hands no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think in addition to HGTV, it's probably a lot of your listeners too watching Million Dollar Listing.
Right.
Seeing, but it's a totally different machine in Manhattan, but just seeing the ability to, you know, pretty much brand yourself and make yourself a business without having a college degree. And it was more, you know, I went to college and everything, I got to play the dream, but it was more seeing that you don't have to have what everyone else has as far as, you know, education or whatever to achieve this goal. So it's accessible to everybody. It just requires raw effort. So it was more of those things, seeing, you know, the checks and everything and seeing the beautiful homes and say, well, this is something that, you know, I would like to be a part of. And it's not something where I should just keep in my mind and wonder. So where, hey, if I tried and failed, I failed. At least I tried. But failure pretty much wasn't an option. Wouldn't jump into it. So, you know, I said, let's just go forward with it.
I hear you. Now, one of the things I really liked about you, because when we first talked like a week ago, you have to be one of the few people that I've ever met I used to be in corporate America. I was the director and assistant vice president of sales at a health insurance company in Los Angeles. You have to be one of the few people that I've met that knows how to contact people and knows how to prospect people. I'm not even sure if my services are even for you, because you already know how to do it. So let me ask you this question. How did you get those skills? When we talked the last time, you talked about, you know, the money you made in the first couple of years in real estate, and you can't make that money sitting back, you know, hanging out on the internet and just doing nothing. And you did tell me about some of the things that you did. So could you share that with our audience about contacting and prospecting?
Well, I think one of the major things that I did is I try to let the world know what I do. We as consumers advertise everything else under the sun. Oh, I went to this restaurant, I bought this detergent, I did this, this works great. And we push for the major companies, but we never brand ourselves and push ourselves, well, I do this, I do that. And no one's going to know whether or not you're the best, you know, agent or the best sower or the best whatever it is that you do unless you voice it. And I think a lot of people aren't have that niche to just talk to people. And I think that's something that a lot of people should have as far as contacting and prospecting. You have to talk to people. You have to just open up your mouth, open up your heart, and just talk. And the more we all do it is the more you realize that person across from you knows somebody that's getting ready to sell the house, or knows someone that's getting ready to buy the house, or knows someone that or that's getting ready to do something that you can offer them the service for. And I think that's the key to all of my contacting and prospecting. Honestly, I don't prospect in the format of like calling expired listings and I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I just, you know, you're in the line at Starbucks and you're conversing with somebody about, you know, the caramel mocha or something. Hey, you know, hey, I'm a real estate agent. Hey, you know, if you know anybody looking to buy and sell, hey, reach out to me. And as simple as that. We cross paths with people all day and don't say anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the major things that has definitely helped me in my business, is just conversing with everybody. I think they get a nice introduction from my personality, and then once they realize what I do and how, you know, I just touch base with them every now and then, people will forget about you at times unless you're in their face. So, and then eventually it's just the timing is right.
So what you're saying is you're talking to a person, it could be a Starbucks or any, you know, place out and about, and that person that you're speaking with is not necessarily the person who may be your next buyer or seller. It could be one of the relatives. It could be someone that they're talking to and they say, you know what, I just met this very professional, very nice guy named Corey, who I just met a couple of days ago. You should give him a call because I liked him. So therefore, you probably would like him too.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of agents, they all swim in the same pool. Everyone, you know, gets the expired listings. They go through it, and the person gets bombarded with, you know, hundreds of calls of agents pitching them on why I should list your house, and it's just like you have 5 seconds to grab someone's attention. Mm-hmm. If someone's, you know, doing that consistently, trying to grab this person's attention for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, constantly every day, after a while, they're just going to go deaf. You can be the best agent in the world. It's going to be hard to crack through that 5 second, you know, barrier, because they've heard so much. So you have to swim in a different pool. And I feel that, you know, it's 6 degrees of separation between, you know, everybody. Someone knows someone that you know.
Exactly.
Or you know, someone that you spoke to, especially in New York, because New York is huge, but it's small at the same time. I bumped into people to where later on I realized that they knew someone that I knew. Mm-hmm. So it's to where, you know, it's just open your mouth. Just open your mouth and talk. Some of your best friends and people that you meet won't come from people that you spent a ton of time with and all. It'll come from people to where you just met them out of the blue, and that person will now become a close friend. Your wife, your husband, something, you know, all off of a conversation. So
yeah, that's
open your mouth.
Yeah, that's true. I remember real quick. I remember I was talking to a guy about taxes at a local coffee shop here in Sacramento, and this other guy about 8 feet away, I could tell he was listening to what I was talking about. And then when my conversation ended with the first guy, he came over, and make a long story short, he asked me if I could help him buy a house because he was paying too much in taxes. So
there you go.
There it is.
Everyone ear hustles. Everyone
I
ear
like
hustles.
That. I'm gonna use that, bro. Can I use that?
Yeah, you can take that. Take that. Everyone listens in on someone else's conversation. If it's a juicy conversation, no matter if it's negative or positive, someone's listening. It's just like an accident on the highway. Everybody just has to slow down and look at it. Even though they have a destination that they have to go to, I got to slow down and see what's going on just because I see the flashing lights. Meanwhile, there's nothing going on. Someone just got pulled over. Nothing special is going on, but I got to look. Same thing with a conversation. Same thing. If you have a good conversation, if someone's close enough to you and they're not playing in their phone or doing something, actually, you know, kind of there mentally, they'll at some point engage at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And it works. It definitely works.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, when you enter like a business, like a bank, restaurant, or wherever you are, all of a sudden there's nonverbal communication going on all the time, and people are checking you out even though you may not think they're checking you out
all the time.
So I'm gonna use all that phrase time. Ear hustle. I like that. You might hear that.
Yeah.
You might see that on my Instagram pretty soon, bro. I'll slide you some coin, man, every time I get paid.
No problem. I take some bitcoins. I'm cool with that. I take bitcoins, litecoins, ethereum coins.
So here's my next question. What are your thoughts on the current real estate market? Just in general, you can talk about New York, but just in general, what do you think?
In general, I feel it's extremely overpriced. Recently, I was talking to somebody. The Fed recently went up on the rate quietly, very quietly, and I suspect it'll be either one or two more raises. I'm assuming that they'll try to do it around the summer, and then one more time the end of the year while everyone's shopping and the economy's looking strong, everyone's spending money. They'll try to do the rate in the back end, but the effects won't come until the next year, 2019, so where you'll really feel it at that time. But the market is overpriced. It's just a supply and demand. It's low inventory, and everyone doesn't want to miss out. I have to get a house. Houses aren't going anywhere. You know, I can understand the situation if you're paying rent equivalent to, the mortgage of a home, then yes, you should make that, move because you're losing all your tax benefits and everything. But I feel it's going to be a slide in the market towards the negative, and it's just a matter of time. I don't know exactly when, but it's going to happen. And, I think, as we discussed before with California, I think California is going to be the place to watch because everyone's leaving in droves. You have to think that at some point in time, there's going to be a property tax issue to where now the state isn't consuming property tax that they normally did because everyone's walking away, in somewhere, some form. And I think at the rate everyone's going to try to walk away, they're not going to be able to get everybody in as fast.
Yeah, so, in fact, a San Francisco realtor and a client of mine, we just had this conversation about a month ago where he said in California he expects, prices to drop at least 20-30%. So you're talking about, slightly above, 1 million, 1.2 down to like maybe 700,000. And that's like a flu if that happens in San Francisco.
It'll happen though. I tell everybody, history always repeats itself in economics, and we're overdue drastically for a correction. We're about 10 years from the 08 crash, and what I've seen now is you see the no-doc mortgages start popping back up.
Yep.
The same things that got us into this situation are now popping up. So, and especially with a lot of the TARP coming off a lot of the banks and everything, to where Trump is allowing them to pretty much get back to, hey, do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen again, and mm-hmm. I think this time is going to be the opportunity to jump in, and this is going to be probably like the final wave to separate the middle class and the poor, to where if you can jump in at this time and really scoop up properties, I think at some point afterwards. Because rumor has it they were talking about taking away the tax deduction of your interest on your mortgage, which would be crazy. But they do it in Canada, from what I hear. So if that was ever to happen in the States, there would be no incentive for anyone to purchase a home. Zero. And now you have your division between the people that have already established the wealth in real estate and now the people that say, well, what's the point of me buying a home when I'm not getting any tax benefits or anything? I'm just renting all over again, just a bigger product. And then people are now it's going to be a side between you're either going to be a renter or the owner, and people are going to get stuck. And then that's when this power shift moves to where now whoever has, you know, it's like Monopoly. Whoever has all the property now wins. So
right,
it's to where
right.
now
that's a great analogy.
They have everyone by the palm
game,
of their
by
hand.
The way.
Now they have everybody by the palm of their hand. They got everybody in the palm of their hands to where now you need me. I'm keeping this roof over your head. Now it's demand to where everyone needs a roof over their head. And I feel at some point that will definitely happen. It will definitely happen.
Okay,
sure.
Well, my last question I have is, what do you think, or what are you doing about expanding your real estate business, your real estate empire? What is on the mind of Mr. Corey Craig?
Well, right now at the moment, I'm expanding to Jamaica. So anybody listening that's in the beautiful island of Jamaica, I am definitely expanding to Jamaica. There's an office in Kingston and Office Rios that definitely trying to get people in. South Africa, which is also another area I'm trying to expand in. London, you know, I'm dabbling with, because London's a good area, but it's a lot of, you know, competition in London. And good old Canada. You know, I love Toronto. If it wasn't so cold, I'd probably try to move to Toronto, but that'd be like me staying in New York. So I said, you know, let me stay in New York, but also to Toronto. Those are the areas I'm trying to focus on right now internationally. Those are the areas that I'm focused on. And if I can get something, some expansion from people in Dubai, that'd be great, because I know you do cast in Dubai, so that's another area I'm looking at.
Hey,
so.
I'm going to give a shout out to Nicole Williams in the GTA, one of my recent guests. So I'm going to tag this post to Toronto, and I'm going to tag Nicole Williams. I'm also going to tag Anna Carolina Oliveira in Dubai, because she's doing big things out there. But let me ask you a question. Why are you, what is I know there's a good reason, because if Corey Craig is doing it, it's a good reason. But
Oh yeah, it's always a good reason.
But why are you targeting expanding in other countries?
Well, for me, with Keller Williams, there's an international program called GrowthShare. And within areas that I mentioned, except for Toronto and London, the other areas are pretty new. Jamaica and South Africa, the offices just opened up last year. Mm-hmm. So you're getting in at the ground floor, to where you have two offices in Jamaica and you have a team that was just established in under a year. So it's still a ton of room for growth, and there's still a lot of people that aren't interested. That isn't familiar with Keller Williams within that area of Jamaica. So it's to where, within the growth system, you can build a team outside of the United States, and you'll collect a certain portion of your team's profits based on their sales. Now, it's not coming out of the actual members' pockets. It's from the company based on the profits of the office. So it's pretty much like a shareholder within Keller Williams without, you know, the stock actually being public. So that was something to where I wanted to, you know, it's always good to have multiple streams of income, and that's something else that I want to do. And I also want to bless people with the ability to make, you know, a substantial amount of money without feeling like they have to go through the traditional plan of, I gotta go to college, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. When it's to where, no, that's actually the system you should get away from, because if you're watching everyone go down that system and get slaughtered, why would you continue to go down that system? You need to pick another road to go down. So that's what I'm trying to expand in those areas at the moment, and really, you know, show people that there is another option to have control over your destiny, and it's through real estate.
Yeah, I hope my son is listening. I hope my son is listening to this, because he's out there in Boise, Idaho, working for this big international company, but not making enough. And I've already put him in touch with some people he should talk to. But so my other question, a follow-up question I have, Corey, is, you mentioned multiple streams of income, and you know, everybody that works, they kind of realize they don't have access to that. Why is that important to you, to have multiple streams of income?
Well, I look at it as something to where, when an individual goes to work every day, we put so much faith into, you know, that boss giving you your check every day. You're gonna no matter how big the corporation is, we have faith in, they're going to give me my check every day. I got my 401k to depend on. I got this to depend on. At any moment, as you know, the execs up above realize, look, we gotta you know, kind of cut corners here, and let's wipe out a whole department. They will do it,
yeah,
in a heartbeat, and not think anything about you. But meanwhile, you go to work and work hard every day. You're not putting anything, you know, like you're not building a legacy for your family. What are you passing on to your family? Absolutely nothing. You're teaching them a good work ethic, but you're teaching them to give that work ethic to somebody else. So I always say, always have a basket in case if your boss's basket breaks, you'll fall right into your basket that you want to be in. And, you know, which is to where do something that you want to do on the side, whether it's you love real estate, get into real estate, do it part-time on the side, learn, build. And as you grow, if that basket from corporate ever breaks, I think you'll land pretty comfortably on the basket that you have blanketed, you know, under it, because you've prepared for it. And that's something that I try to tell a lot of people. Don't depend on one stream of income. And a lot of us do. And that's what I was saying before about the machine of people going in the direction of seeing people get slaughtered and seeing, you know, years ago, you know, IBM was, you know, the big one that everybody was shook up from. You got to think, every corporation has their day. And it's just all on when, and when you're going to be in that vacuum of when you're going to get sucked out. And then now, what are you going to do when you're in your 40s and 50s? And they're like, here, take this package and figure it out. And you're stuck. You know?
Yeah, figure it out until the package runs out.
Exactly. And that's what they all do. And so it's to where, you know, for everybody, definitely have multiple streams of income, and to where something the way you can pass on to your family. And if you notice, most people that are business owners, they pass on the trait of now I want my son or daughter to become a business owner. They don't say go get a job. You know, they'll say this is how you win. And the tax code benefits business. I get to write off stuff that the regular working person wouldn't or can't. So it's to where you got to look at certain things and realize, hey, this system doesn't benefit the working class, it benefits the business owner. So everyone should become a business owner and get another stream of income. No matter what it is. Well, legal streams of income. But you know,
right. Yeah, that caveat to it.
Yeah, exactly. So something to where, you know, something that you love, you know. And also, one more thing.
Yeah, I would say also
don't also look at it as something that you love, because it is kind of a double-edged sword. You can love playing basketball, but it will never be a stream of income, you know, for you, because you're not good. Try to do it to where it's something that you're good at. Even if you don't love it, if you're good at it, you'll grow, and then you may learn to love it. Or even if you don't, use it as a stream of income and put it and make it automatic in some way, to where when you don't like it anymore, it's already moving automatically to where now, hey, I can walk away from this and still get money from it. So I know people say, hey, do what you love, but sometimes what you love doesn't equate to money. Mm-hmm. So it's to where it sounds good in theory to where, yeah, I enjoy doing it. Like, yeah, I'll do it for free. No, you wouldn't. No, like, you really wouldn't, unless you had another income that can help you do that for free. You know what I mean? You got to use other incomes to where now you can do what you want for free, even if it doesn't bring you, not a dollar. Other streams of income are bringing you money to where you can sit there and look at the four walls all day if you choose to, but you got $10,000 a month coming in. You know, so that's something that I always say, get your stream of income, but do it with something that you're good at until you learn to love something else, and then, you know, you can move forward.
That's some great words of wisdom from Corey Craig. Now, Corey, can you give our listeners your contact information of how they can reach you if they have any questions about working with you, if they have any questions about buying or selling real estate? Now, for New York real estate, what is your target market?
Well, I live in Queens, so predominantly I do Queens, but Brooklyn's a next door neighbor, so it's not far, and I'm not far from Long Island, so I pretty much stick with Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, and I'm accessible for the Bronx. Manhattan, I do have, you know, agents that I know that I do refer deals out to in Manhattan, but predominantly I would say Queens, Brooklyn, Long Island, and the Bronx is what I pretty much stick with. At the moment. But, you know, I take anything, because I know a lot of agents. So if I can't personally do the deal, I will refer you to somebody that can. Even out of state, you have anybody that's in Georgia or any other state, I can refer deals out to other agents that I know throughout the United States and get it done.
I heard that. That's great. And what is your contact info?
It's C. Craig, so letter C, and then C-R-A-I-G 80 at KW.com. And my Instagram, if I remember, because I change it all the time, I think it's KW Realtor NYC, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think because I changed it recently, and I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and I'll put it in the podcast notes for people that want to reach out to you. So that means you probably can't change it again.
Yo, yes. I was just going to say I don't plan on changing it. Like that one, I like. So I said I don't plan on changing it. I'm going to leave it as is, and that's it. I'm not going to change it.
All right. So any parting comments? Any last comments from Corey Carter?
Just hustle like you got a dollar in your pocket. And invest that dollar in you, and that's pretty much, you know, what I try to live by. Don't look at where you are now and feel like, you know, it's the end of, you know, the end of the world. You just, if it's financial, you're just hitting a temporary financial hurdle. Don't ever say you're broke. Don't say those things until you're hitting a temporary financial hurdle. Every hurdles can be jumped all day, so once you get over that, you'll move forward. So don't let, you know, your current situation stop you. You know, everybody goes through it. They might not tell you, but everybody goes through it.
Exactly. You know, they may not even tell you, but a lot of people are going through it. That's exactly correct. All right, Mr. Craig. Well, thanks for coming on the 321 show, and we will definitely stay in touch.
Definitely. Great talking to you.
My name is Clarence Napier, CEO of 321 Set Appointments, LLC, and you have listened to the 321 Sales Pro Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, where our company slogan is 321 Business Development Clients Never Work Alone. We hope you enjoyed today's show.